This film has been modified from its original version. It has been edited to run in the time allotted and for content. A craggy granite mountain peak thrusts into the pink, orange, and blue cloud-studded sky. A snow-filled valley is on its flank. White stars travel from the left front and arc over and around the peak. In the circle of stars, words appear. Paramount, a Viacom company. An astronaut floats among tiny twinkling stars in the blue-black background of space. Reflected in his helmet, words appear. MTV Music Television Productions. On a black background, white letters appear. Paramount Pictures presents an MTV Films production in association with Bonafide Productions. A sprinkler waters a football field. Pink light pierces the gray clouded sky. Words appear. Matthew Broderick. A figure walks on the far side of the field. Reese Witherspoon. Election. A dark-haired man in white t-shirt and gray sweatpants runs in a lane on a track. Chris Klein, Jessica Campbell, Mark Herlick, Phil Reeves. The man strains as he does sit-ups. Molly Hagan, Delaney Driscoll. He attempts push-ups. Colleen Camp, Frankie Ingracia. The man in a blue sweatshirt moves through chain-link fencing. Matt Malloy, Janine Jackson, Holmes Osborne. He carries a duffel bag and walks up an asphalt walkway toward low red brick buildings. Casting by Lisa Beach. Music by Rolf Kent. The man showers in a tan-tiled locker room. Costume designer Wendy Chuck. In dark pants and a gray shirt, he adjusts his dark tie. Editor Kevin Ten. Card table legs open and lock in place. A girl in a plaid skirt, pale blue shirt, and blue vest plonks a fishbowl on the table. She adds silver-wrapped sticks of gum. Co-producers Jacobus Rose, Jim Burke. She places three clipboards on the table and centers them along the edge. Executive producer Van Toffler. A man removes a key ring and unlocks a door in a corridor of lockers. Produced by Albert Berger, Ron Yerxa. He sets his briefcase on the counter. Produced by David Gale, Keith Samples. He removes a brown bag and opens the refrigerator. The shelves are full of containers of food. He drags a trash can toward the open door and begins tossing items into the can behind. Video description produced by Closed Captioning Services and WeCTV.com. The janitor rolls his cart by and looks in. A container of oriental food lands on the floor. The janitor looks from the floor to the man and pushes on. The girl, her blonde hair neatly parted and pulled back in a clip, sits behind the card table. She sits up, smiles faintly, and checks her watch. Screenplay by Alexander Payne and Jim Taylor. A bright green sign on the table reads, Tracy Flick for President. Based on the novel by Tom Perotta. The man walks toward the table.
Hey, Mr. McAllister.
Directed by Alexander Payne.
Not wasting any time, are you, Tracy?
Well, you know what they say about the early bird.
Yeah, I do. Good luck there, Tracy.
Thanks, Mr. M.
Mm-hmm.
I'll see you in class.
Yep.
None of this would have happened if Mr. McAllister hadn't meddled the way he did. He should have just accepted things as they are instead of trying to interfere with destiny. You see, you can't interfere with destiny. That's why it's destiny. And if you try to interfere, the same thing's just going to happen anyway. And you'll just suffer.
He reads the Omaha World Herald.
It's hard to remember how the whole thing started. The whole election mess. What I do remember is that I loved my job. I was a teacher, an educator, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Mr. McAllister, Mr. M, we quit daydreaming and get back to work.
At an assembly.
The students knew it wasn't just a job for me. I got involved.
Put down the cards, boys. This game is over.
And I cared.
Come on, Wolverines! Defense!
And I think I made a difference. I knew I touched the students' lives during their difficult young adult years, and I took that responsibility seriously.
He consoles a crying girl.
In the 12 years I taught U.S. history, civics, and current events at Carver, I was voted Teacher of the Year 3 times, a school record. Teaching was all I'd ever wanted to do.
He displays a plaque.
We will not continue the current
standing in front of a room full of young people, trying to get them excited about the world, trying to make them think, preparing them for the tough moral and ethical decisions that they'd face as adults. That's how I wanted to spend my life.
So is this a moral situation or an ethical situation? What's the difference between morals and ethics anyway? Anybody? Derek.
Yeah, ethics is like when you do what society tells you is right to do.
And morals.
Yeah, you're on the right track. Can anybody help him out?
Tracy raises her hand.
Michelle.
Morals are like lessons, you know, like the moral of a story. It's what you learn from a story or a fable or something.
Or a life experience, good. And ethics?
Ethics is how you use the morals that you learn from the story.
Yeah, okay, but I think we're missing something key here. What are we missing?
He looks around the room. Tracy's is the only hand raised.
Tracy.
Ethics are rules of conduct.
Tracy Flick. I'd seen a lot of ambitious students come and go over the years, but Tracy Flick, she was a special case.
In the yearbook.
Some people say I'm an overachiever, but I think they're just jealous. My mom always tells me I'm different, you know, special. And if you look at all the things I've accomplished so far, I think you'd have to agree.
Her picture is in the Spanish Club, yearbook, and business leaders' pages.
Here I am as Hodel and Fiddler on the Roof.
Matchmaker, matchmaker, I'll bring the mail. Bring the...
Oh, and here I am on KCHS, our student-run TV station.
The littering must stop. Tracy Flick reporting.
But it was in the SGA, the Student Government Association, where I made my biggest mark. I never missed a single meeting. And I volunteer for every committee, as long as I could lead it.
I agree with Ashley. I think we should rent the barrels ahead of time because what happened last time was a travesty. It was ridiculous, and I think it really reflected poorly on all of us.
Now Tracy Flick was poised to win the presidency of the student body.
I don't think that, you know,
and so far, she was running unopposed.
Determined by a culture at a certain time in history.
Oh, there's one more thing about Tracy I think you should know.
Her lips get so wet, you can't believe it.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. I don't want to know that.
A few months before the election, she'd gotten herself in a little trouble with my best friend, Dave Novotny.
Fancy!
Dave came to Carver the year after I did, and we hit it off right away. Dave was one of those guys who taught because they never wanted to leave high school in the first place.
Fancy.
But basically, he was a good guy. Our wives became best friends, too. And when Dave and Linda's son, Daryl, was born, they asked us to be his godparents.
Dave teaches.
B.
You probably think the worst.
C
that Mr. Novotny was taking horrible advantage of one of his students. But it wasn't like that at all. Our relationship was based on mutual respect and admiration. I mean, during my sophomore year in geometry, it was strictly professional between us. I mean, nothing. It wasn't until junior year when we worked together on the yearbook that things got kind of serious. One night, he took us editors out to celebrate after a deadline. Eventually, Dave and I were left alone, and we got to talking. Not like teacher and student, but like two adults.
You know, Tracy, I noticed that you don't seem to have any close friends at Carver. You seem to be kind of a loner.
No, I'm not. I'm just real busy.
Oh, no, I know. I know it's not by choice. I just mean that, well, being the kind of person you are, it must be really difficult for you to find somebody you can talk to.
What do you mean? What kind of person am I?
Tracy, you know, I've been watching you for going on 3 years now, and I think you are one of the most talented hardworking, sensitive, attractive, brilliant students. No. Human beings I have ever met.
Thank you.
And I know that sometimes people like you have to pay a price for their greatness. And that price is loneliness. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but it just seems to me like you might need a friend.
They kiss in the dark room of the yearbook office.
Since I grew up without a dad, you might assume psychologically I was looking for a father figure. But that had nothing to do with it at all. It was just that Dave was so strong, and he made me feel so safe and protected. It was the first time somebody ever saw the real me. The me that nobody else knows.
Okay, here, get down. Get down.
He drives his gold Mustang into the garage attached to a gray house. Inside.
You once, twice, three times a lady.
Tracy sits on the sofa.
And I love you.
Dave turns on the stereo.
Yes, you once, twice.
Then drinks from her root beer.
Three times a lady.
She drinks.
I love you.
When I think back on my relationship with Mr. Novotny, what I miss most is our talks.
She enters a bedroom.
You did it in your house. In your own house?
Look, Jim, okay, I know it seems crazy, but...
Jim, what I'm trying to tell you is that Tracy and I are totally in love.
In love?
Yeah. It's serious. She inspires me in ways that Linda never has. She even wants to read my novel.
But you haven't written your novel.
That's the whole point. I've got the whole thing right here. I just need to get it out there. And Tracy wants me to write it so she can read it. It's beautiful.
Dave, I'm just saying this as your friend. What you're doing is really, really wrong, and you've got to stop. The line you've crossed is... it's immoral, and it's illegal.
Jim, come on. I don't need a lecture on ethics, okay?
I'm not talking about ethics. I'm talking about morals.
What's the difference?
I guess I don't have to tell you how this all turned out.
A letter tied in red ribbon reads, Tracy, let's go to paradise. Love, your teacher, Dave.
Tracy's mom, she doesn't understand.
No, I say she doesn't. The fact is, I have never seen a mother so upset. All right, I know what Tracy told her mother, what her mother told me. I need to hear this from you, because I have a legal responsibility here. Let me ask you this. Did you cross the line with this girl?
Dave looks to Jim and back to the gray-haired man behind the wide desk.
I didn't... We're in love.
Your novel? Are you kidding me?
Linda...
After Dave got fired, honey, Linda kicked him out of the house and filed for divorce.
Linda, please. Linda.
He ended up moving back to Milwaukee to live with his parents. He's lucky he's not in jail.
Linda!
And ethics are the basis of...
Okay, we'll pick up here next time.
Tracy's mouth forms a thin line.
Possible for me to retake the test we took yesterday?
The test yesterday? When did we take it?
Yeah, I had to work late the night before, and I didn't have enough time to study.
Oh, yeah?
Now that I have more life experience, I feel sorry for Mr. McAllister. I mean, anyone who's stuck in the same little room, wearing the same stupid clothes, saying the exact same things year after year for his whole life, while his students go on to good colleges and move to big cities and do great things and make loads of money. He's got to be at least a little jealous.
I noticed it was a little low.
It's like my mom says, the weak are always trying to sabotage the strong. One thing that's important to know about me is that I'm an only child, so my mom is really devoted to me, and I love her so much. She wants me to do all the things that she wanted to do in life but couldn't. Mom used to be a stewardess for Northwest, and now she works as a paralegal. She likes to write letters to successful women like Elizabeth Dole and Connie Chung and ask them how they got to be where they are. And what advice do they have for me, Tracy, her daughter?
At her table.
9 times out of 10, they say you have to hold on to your dreams no matter what. The pressures women face mean you have to work twice as hard, and you can't let anything or anyone stand in your way.
Hey! Hey! Whipper person, put those back!
But you know, winning isn't everything. Win or lose, ethical conduct is the most important thing. Just ask Mr. McAllister.
Mr. McAllister! Mr. McAllister, wait up! Mr. McAllister, don't go!
In the parking lot.
I got all my signatures. There's 158, way more than I need.
Hey, that's super.
Here they are.
Oh, you can just put them in my box and I'll take a look at them tomorrow.
Could you approve them now? Because I'd really like to kick off my campaign right away, you know, in the morning.
Right.
He thumbs through the pages.
Yeah, those look good to me.
Aren't you supposed to keep them?
No, that's fine.
I thought you were supposed to keep them.
Yeah, right, fine. Okay.
Thanks for everything.
You bet.
Campaigning.
What's that?
I can't wait to start campaigning.
Ah, well, it should be easy for you. So far, no competition.
Yeah, but you know, Cole is by far the world's number one soft drink, and they spend more money than anybody on advertising. I guess that's how come they stay number one.
Yeah. Okay, well, good luck there, Tracy.
You know, Mr. M, when I win the presidency, that means you and I are going to be spending a lot of time together, and I, for one, would really like that time to be harmonious and productive. Wouldn't you?
Sure.
Okay. That's what I thought. I was just checking.
Yeah. Good luck there, Tracy.
Okay.
He drives his blue subcompact by a dumpster.
I don't blame Tracy for what happened with Dave. How could I? Dave was an adult more than twice her age. Sure, she got on my nerves once in a while, but I admired Tracy. I really did.
He tosses the names in.
Thank God for Diane. She was my best friend, my source of love and strength. Oh, sure, we'd had our share of bumpy times, but we'd always seen them through. After 9 years of marriage, we were closer than ever.
They eat dinner.
Anything wrong?
No. Just, you know, school.
In bed.
When I win the presidency, we're going to be spending a lot of time together. Lots and lots and lots of time. President and advisor. Harmonious and productive. Close and special. You and I.
In the basement. Jim pads down the stairs. He drinks a Pepsi. He unpacks a cedar chest and takes out quilts and blankets. He loads a videotape titled Touchdown.
Hey, CJ.
Crystal, what are you doing here in the boys' locker room?
I come to see the star quarterback before the big game.
But what if Coach Henderson walks in?
Oh, that's okay. I took care of him. So, what you reading?
I'm just reviewing my playbook.
He looks back and forth from his drink to the football player on the screen.
Paul.
A skier falls and tumbles down a snowy slope.
I was
was so mad at God when I broke my leg at Shadow Ridge over Christmas break.
Why?
The doctors told me I'd have to quit sports for at least a couple of years, if not forever, which meant no first-string quarterback in the fall. It was like the end of my life. When I got back to school, everybody was so supportive, and they all wanted to sign my cast and everything, but I still couldn't shake the feeling that now my life had no purpose. What did God want from me? Why did I exist? Sometimes you can search everywhere for answers. Then one day, destiny just walks up and taps you on the shoulder. I know, because it happened to me.
Paul sleeps by a copy of the Celestine Prophecy.
Paul, can I speak to you for a minute?
Mr. McAllister changed my life. And no matter what they say he did or did not do, I believe he is a good man.
In the classroom.
I know you've been pretty down since your accident.
Yeah, I wanted to play football again so bad I could taste it and maybe go on to the playoffs. Yeah,
I know. I understand disappointment. I really do.
Yeah.
Now, I personally think you have a very bright future ahead of you. And I'm not talking about the fleeting glory of sports.
What do you mean?
Let me give you a clue. You're a natural-born leader. You're one of the most popular students at Carver. You're honest, you're straightforward, and you don't crack under pressure, as we all saw in the amazing fourth quarter against Westside. All the kids look up to you. Now, what does that spell?
Paul smiles at Jim.
Student, council, president.
Oh, me? Oh, no, I don't know anything about that stuff, Mr. M. And I mean, besides, that's Tracy Flick's thing. She's always working so hard at
it. Yeah, I know. She's a real go-getter, all right.
And she's super nice.
Yeah, yeah. But one person assured of victory kind of undermines the whole idea of democracy, don't you think?
But, Mr. M...
I mean, that'd be more like a dictatorship, like we studied.
But, Mr. M, there's...
Paul, what's your favorite fruit?
Pears.
Pears, good. Okay. Let's say...
Oh, no, wait. Apples.
He draws circles.
Apples. Fine. Let's say all you ever knew were apples. Apples, apples, and more apples. You might think apples were pretty good, even if you got a rotten one once in a while. But then one day, there's an orange.
Another circle.
And now you can make a decision. Do you want an apple, or do you want an orange? That's democracy.
I also like bananas.
Exactly. Good. So what do you say? Maybe it's time to give a little something back.
How's that?
That's... No, it's just a little higher. A little higher.
Is this okay?
Eric, you can't put tape on the outside of the poster. It goes on the back of the poster. You better just take the whole thing down and redo it.
Tracy sees a sign. Paul Metzler for president. She sets her jaw and marches over to Paul.
Who put you up to this?
Oh, hi, Tracy.
Who put you up to this?
What do you mean?
You just woke up this morning and suddenly decided to run for president?
No. I just thought that,
Thought what?
Well, I was talking to Mr. McAllister about my leg, and how I still want to do something for the school, and...
So Mr. McAllister asked you to run?
Well... I talked to him and everything, but he just said that he thought it would be a good idea, and how there's all different kinds of fruits, and well, it's nothing against you, Tracy. I mean, you're the best. I just thought,
Okay, you're on, Mr. Popular.
She adds her signature.
You might think it upset me that Paul Metzler had decided to run against me, but nothing could be further from the truth. He was no competition for me. It was like apples and oranges. I had to work a little harder, that's all. You see, I believe in the voters. They understand that elections aren't just popularity contests. They know this country was built by people just like me, who work very hard and don't have everything handed to them on a silver spoon.
She makes buttons.
Not like some rich kids who everybody likes because their fathers own Metzler Cement and give them trucks on their 16th birthday and throw them big parties all the time. No, they don't ever have to work for anything. They think they can just all of a sudden one day out of the blue waltz right in with no qualifications whatsoever and try to take away what other people have worked for very, very hard their entire lives. No, didn't bother me at all.
She glares at Paul from the school bus window.
Paul.
Paul for president. Paul for president. Promise. Progress. Peanut.
He parks in the driveway of a brick house. In a bedroom, two girls lie on a bed facing each other. The dark-haired girl caresses the curly brown hair of the other. Downstairs, Paul takes a banana from a bowl in the kitchen. Upstairs.
What? I told you. I can't. It just doesn't feel right anymore. But I love you.
The brown-haired girl gets up.
I said no.
Hey, Tammy, guess what happened today?
Don't you knock?
Yeah. Oh, hi, Lisa.
Get out, Paul!
Listen, so Mr. McAllister, he calls me in and he tells me he thinks I can...
Lisa rushes past Paul.
God, you're such an idiot!
What'd I do?
It's not like I'm a lesbian or anything. I'm attracted to the person. It's just that all the people I've ever been attracted to happen to be girls.
Lisa, wait!
Tammy follows Lisa to her car.
What? Where are you going?
I'm not like you, okay?
What do you mean?
And we're not in love. We're just experimenting.
Tammy watches Lisa drive away.
How can something that seems so true turn out to be such a lie?
Tammy and Lisa swing at a park.
Lisa and I were destined to be together. Of all the people on the planet who had ever lived, somehow we'd found each other. It was like a miracle. We had so much fun together. Like the time we ate a bunch of asparagus to see how long it takes before your pee smells funny. It was very scientific. For me, it was 11 minutes. For her, it was 17. Every day, I found a new way to tell Lisa how much I loved her.
Lisa reads a note from Tammy.
If you died right now, I would throw myself into one of my dad's cement trucks and get poured into your tomb. But it just seemed like the closer we got, the more she pulled away.
Are you crazy?
What? These are private. These are for us.
So?
But other people can see them too.
I don't care.
Well, I do.
Lisa takes pictures of the two of them from Tammy's locker.
What did I do to make her change? What's wrong with me? Sometimes when I'm sad, I sit and watch the power station. They say if you lie between two of the main wires, your body just evaporates. You become a gas. I wonder what that would feel like. I don't know why, but Lisa decided she wanted to hurt me, and she knew exactly what to do.
Life is so weird. First, Lisa has a big fight with my sister, and the next thing you know, she's my girlfriend. Since Lisa knew all about public relations and stuff, she offered to help me with my campaign. We made a great team. It seemed so natural, the two of us together. It was like a miracle.
Tammy glares as they hang a poster for Paul.
My leg wasn't bugging me too much, and the weather was so nice. And every day after school, Lisa and I would go to her house to make out and have a hot tub.
From across the street, Tammy spies from behind trash cans. She sneaks along the side of the house to the backyard. Tammy squints as Paul and Lisa kiss in the hot tub.
If that's the way they wanted it, then that's the way it was going to be. But I wasn't going down without a fight.
At school, Tammy wears a Tammy Metzler for President sandwich board.
Tammy? Tammy, what are you doing?
You're the advisor. You should stop her. She's not qualified. She's just a sophomore. Did you know that?
Calm down, Tracy. Just calm down.
We can't both run, can we? I mean, we're brother and sister. Can we?
It's a conflict of interest, and Paul was first.
Anybody who gets signatures in on time can run, and she got in just under the wire.
Jim offers a list.
These are a bunch of burnouts. And what's this one? It's illegible. I can't even read that.
That's Tim Kobzak.
She's doing this to get back at me.
For what?
I mean at you.
For what?
Tim Kobzak? Tim Kobzak, who's he? I've never even heard of him.
Look, why don't we just forget about Tammy? We'll have the assembly tomorrow. Everybody can make their speeches, and I'm sure everything's going to be just fine.
Jim swings the baby upside down.
Jim, don't. You're scaring him.
Ah, he likes it. Yeah, not that much.
Around that time, Diane and I were hanging out a lot at Linda Novotny's house, giving her our love and support and helping her make it through a difficult time.
Jim eyes Linda's blue-jeaned backside as she passes.
Diane really wanted to have kids, and so did I. But it seemed like there was always a reason to wait. She had to finish nursing school, I had to get my master's, we needed a new house, we needed more money. Finally, we just decided to go for it.
In bed.
But for over a year, we hadn't had any luck.
Good job.
She smiles. He lies back on the bed.
Jim, can you get this?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Just put it on the table.
All right.
Jim opens a wine bottle.
Without Dave around, Linda needed a lot of help around the house.
What do you want it here?
They position a hanging basket.
More this way.
He stares at her cleavage.
Here?
Yeah, that's good.
I'd always liked Linda, but we'd never had a chance to spend any time alone together.
That'll warm you up a little bit.
Now, with Dave out of the picture, I began to see what an incredibly sensitive and giving person she was. We got to be kind of like buddies. I even took her to the mall one time while her car was in the shop.
She applies lipstick.
What do you think?
You look great.
I can't afford this stuff right now.
Oh, come on. You've had a hard year. You're cooped up all the time with the kid. Let go. Live a little.
You sure?
Yeah. So what do you think? Should we get a room?
Should we get a what?
He points to a motel. Her face falls. She glances at him.
That's not funny.
At home.
How'd it go?
Fine. You know, just went to Westroads.
Did you guys have fun?
Yeah. Nah, I mean, you know.
What?
Well, Linda's great, but she can be a little bit much sometimes.
At the assembly.
That is until things started going all haywire with that damn election.
I love Carver High, and I will be a dedicated vice president. A vote for Trace Slavin is a vote for good government, and even if I can't really stand up for you, I will.
The student uses a wheelchair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you, and good luck. Again, Jerry is running unopposed for vice president. So, we'll move on now to the presidential race with three candidates running. The first in alphabetical order is Tracy Flick. Tracy?
Poet Henry David Thoreau once wrote, "I cannot make my days longer, so I strive to make them better." With this election, we here at Carver also have an opportunity to make our high school days better. During this campaign, I've spoken with many of you about your many concerns. I spoke with Eliza Ramirez, a freshman, who said she feels alienated from her own homeroom. I spoke with sophomore Reggie Banks, who said his mother works in the cafeteria and can't afford to buy him enough spiral notebooks for his classes. I care about Carver, and I care about each and every one of you. When you cast your vote for Tracy Flick next week, you won't just be voting for me. You'll be voting for yourself.
and for every other student here at Carver. Our days might not be any longer, but they can sure be better. Thank you.
The next candidate for student body president is Paul Metzler. Paul?
Paul scans the bleachers. Lisa nods and applauds. Paul removes a piece of paper from his back pocket.
As many of you know, I broke my leg pretty bad this year, and the experience has made me reevaluate what I want to do with my life, and that is help people. When you think about it, a school is more than a school. It's our second home where we spend all our time and grow as individuals and a community. But is our school everything it could be? I want our school to reach its true potential. That's why I'm running for president. I know what it is to fight hard and win, like when we almost went to state last fall and I threw the fourth quarter pass against Westside for the touchdown that won the game by 3 points. I won't let you down like I didn't then. I promise we can all score a winning touchdown together. Vote Paul Metzler for president. Thank you.
He smiles at the silent students.
Okay, Paul, the final candidate for student council president is another one of the Metzler clan, sophomore Tammy Metzler. Tammy.
About this stupid election.
Jim leans forward in his seat.
We all know it doesn't matter who gets elected president of Carver. Do you really think it's going to change anything around here? Make one single person smarter, or happier, or nicer? The only person it does matter to is the one who gets elected. The same pathetic charade happens every year. And everyone makes the same pathetic promises, just so they can put it on their transcripts to get into college. So vote for me, because I don't even want to go to college, and I don't care. And as president, I won't do anything. The only promise I will make is that, if elected, I will immediately dismantle the student government, so that none of us will ever have to sit through one of these stupid assemblies again! Or don't vote for me. Who cares? Don't vote at all.
Lisa closes her eyes. Tracy wrinkles her brow. Paul looks around. Jim's eyes dart. The principal and the balding man confer.
Close the door.
In the principal's office.
I tell you, that little bitch made a fool out of us. I want her out of this election. I'm getting everybody all riled up like that. She is washed up. You understand me? She's finished.
Well, we can't throw her out of the election just because we don't like her speech. That's not what student government is about.
Yeah, whatever. Look, all I know is she's a troublemaker. She's on my list.
All we need to do is send a message. So maybe we should just suspend her.
That's it. 3 days. She's suspended for 3 days.
Being suspended is like getting a paid vacation. Why do they think it's a punishment? Hendricks told me one more time and I'd be expelled. Sounded good to me.
With headphones on, Tammy dances in her room. Papers are shoved under her door. Paul kneels by the door.
Oh, hi, Tammy.
What do you want?
Oh, well, I went to all your teachers and got your assignments for you. I just thought, last time you got suspended, you fell so far behind, and I just didn't want to see that happening again.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks a lot.
Sure, you bet.
Now, could you leave me alone?
Oh, yeah, Tammy, there's just one other thing. You know all this election stuff? Because everybody is saying it's really weird that you're running against me and everything, and it is kind of weird, and you haven't really told me why you're doing it and didn't tell me in advance, but that's okay. I respect your privacy. It's just, I want you to know that no matter who wins, you or me, there's no hard feelings. We're still brother and sister, okay? Even though you're adopted, because I hope you feel the same.
What happened at the speeches was an unconscionable travesty. That little bitch Tammy Metzler wanted to make a fool out of me. Well, it wasn't gonna work. If all those students who cheered for Tammy Metzler only knew how hard I worked for Carver. Like all the late nights I spent at the yearbook office just to give them their stinking memories.
On a computer, Tracy excises Dave's face from a photo and drags it to the trash.
People are so ungrateful.
In a hallway, the corner of her poster has come unstuck. She jumps to reattach it. It pulls loose. Returning, she upends the trash can and stands on it. She smooths the poster. She shifts her weight and slips, tearing the poster as she falls. She tears frantically at the piece in her hand. On the opposite wall is Paul's poster. The picture shows Paul in his football uniform, ball cocked in his right hand, left hand held palm out. It reads, "Paul Metzler, you Betzler." She frowns and glowers at it. She rips it off the wall and shreds it. She moves down the hall, ripping and tearing. Crumpled paper litters the floor. She stands, shoulders heaving, fingers splayed, eyes wide. Her hands are flecked with red. Outside the building, Tracy carries a black trash bag. She stuffs it in the trunk. She drives off, checking her rear-view mirror and looking over her shoulder. Tammy sits on the grass, the lights of the power plant glowing in the distance. A car passes on the road behind her and comes to a stop at a dumpster. Tammy watches Tracy heave the trash bag into the dumpster. Tammy retrieves her bike at Linda's.
The day before the election is when things started to get really complicated.
There's your culprit.
Linda had asked me to stop by on my way to school to help her out with a little plumbing problem.
Did you know Dave's a bedwetter?
No. No, I didn't know that.
All his life, he's tried everything.
That's still running clear?
Yeah.
Better let it run for a while.
Okay. Oh, wait. Here. This one's clean.
She hands him a towel.
I guess you better get to work, huh? You're gonna be late.
Yeah.
She gives him a hug. Embracing, they wander into the living room.
It was something that just happened. Neither of us expected it. Neither of us planned it. But once we started, we knew there was no turning back. It was a miracle.
They roll on the carpet. The baby glances at them from his playpen. Linda clutches her robe, leans through the window, and kisses Jim.
Hey, take me to that motel like you wanted.
Now?
Come by after school. I'll leave Daryl with the sitter.
Oh. 325.
Okay, 325.
What had blossomed between Linda and me was too real, too powerful to deny. For the first time in years, I felt free and alive.
Wearing dark glasses, Jim smokes and drives a red sports car on a narrow coastal road. He pulls into the parking lot at school. He steps out. And closes the blue car door. In the principal's office.
It's not fair. It's just not fair.
I just don't think somebody would do something like that on purpose. It must be some sort of mistake. Like a maintenance thing.
Jim, where the hell have you been?
Nowhere. No, I don't have any classes till second period.
Well, I tried you at home. Now we've got a situation here.
If Paul loses this election tomorrow, there has to be another one with posters.
Somebody tore down their posters.
Those posters cost us a lot of money, and there's no time to make any
more.
All right,
we'll get to the bottom of it.
We still have some extra ones, don't we? Maybe we could just use those.
It was Tammy. That's who it was.
Oh, no. Hey, like I said, she just wouldn't do something like that.
Well, that speech that she gave, you know, it was pretty... It was out there. But we'll get to the bottom of it. I want you two, to go back. I want you to focus on your studies. Mr. McAllister will handle the whole thing. Right, Jim?
What's that? Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, you bet.
In safety glasses, Tracy stares at a bubbling blue liquid.
Tracy.
In Jim's office.
Tracy, come on in. Close the door behind you. Have a seat. I guess you know why you're here.
If it's about the posters, I think it's awful. I think it's a travesty.
Travesty, huh? Well, that's interesting. Because I think you did it.
What? Are you accusing me? You're not serious. Mr. McAllister, we've worked together on the SGA for 3 solid years. Besides, my own best banner was torn down. Did I do that too?
Were you or were you not working in the Looking Glass office over the weekend?
I was. So, Mr. Pichardo let me in. As you know, with my many responsibilities, I often have to come in on the weekend, and I have permission to do so. But I left very early, around 6:30.
6:30? 6:30? How do you know what time the posters were torn down?
I don't. I just know that they were there when I left. I'm giving you helpful information, that's all. You know, instead of wasting your time interrogating me, we should be out there trying to figure out who did this.
Okay, Tracy. Who do you think did it? Whom should we interrogate?
Well, I don't know. You know, it could have been anybody. There's a lot of subversive elements here at Carver. Like Rick Thiessen or Kevin Speck and those burnouts. Or what about Tammy Metzler? I mean, her whole thing is being anti-this and anti-that.
Tracy, you're a very intelligent girl. You have a lot of admirable qualities. But one day maybe you'll learn that being smart and doing whatever you need to do to get ahead, and yes, stepping on other people to get there, well, there's a whole lot more to life than that. And in the end, you're only cheating yourself.
Why are you lecturing me?
This isn't the time or the place to get into it. But there is, for just one example, a certain former colleague of mine who made a very big mistake, a life mistake. Now, I think the lesson here is that old or young, we all make mistakes. And we have to learn that our actions, all of them, can carry serious consequences.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're referring to, but maybe if certain older, wiser people hadn't acted like such little babies and gotten so mushy, then everything would be okay.
I agree. And I also think that certain young and naive people need to thank their lucky stars and be very, very grateful that the entire school didn't find out about certain indiscretions that could have ruined their reputations and their chances to win certain elections.
And I think certain older people, like you and your colleague, shouldn't be leching after their students, especially when some of them can't even get their own wives pregnant. And they certainly shouldn't be making slanderous accusations, especially when certain young, naive people's mothers are paralegal secretaries at the city's biggest law firm and have won many successful lawsuits. And if you want to keep questioning me like this, I won't continue without my attorney present.
You wanted to see me, Mr. McAllister?
Just wait outside, Tammy.
Okay. But is this about the posters?
Possibly. Please, just wait outside.
Okay. Because I know who did it. So, I'll just be outside.
Tracy's eyes dart from side to side.
Don't go anywhere, Tracy. Tammy, come on in here.
This ought to be good.
So, what do you have to tell me, Tammy?
Well, this is hard for me, but I think it's important to be honest, don't you?
Yeah, what is it, Tammy?
I did it. I'm the one who tore down Paul's posters. I did it.
When did you do it?
I don't know, yesterday, Sunday.
How'd you get into the school?
Door was open.
Which door?
I don't know. All I know is I did it.
Well, I don't believe you.
I have proof.
She opens her backpack to reveal torn poster pieces. Tracy peeks into the room through a space next to the curtain. Jim removes handfuls of torn paper.
Tracy?
Yes?
Looks like today's your lucky day. You're off the hook. Tammy here has confessed.
I told you. You're gonna pay for my poster!
Okay, easy. Now quit while you're ahead, will you, Tracy? Just run along. Back to class.
The rest of the day was unbearable. I kept smelling Linda on my clothes and on my fingers, and I just couldn't wait to get out of there. I wanted everything to be perfect that afternoon at the motel, so I decided to give myself a little time to prepare during eighth period.
Pop quiz, everybody! Put your stuff away. Come on, no whining. You've done your reading, this should be an easy one.
I'd have exactly 48 minutes to make all the arrangements.
If you finish early, just sit quietly and check your work. I'll be right back.
Jim races down the hall and out the double doors. He fumbles with his keys as he runs to the car. He parks at the motel. In room 246... pours ice in the sink and adds a champagne bottle. He rips open the covering on the plastic glasses. Flowers tilt in the ice bucket. Jim places a box of chocolates next to the flowers. He places a single carnation in a book of poetry and sets it on the nightstand. He dashes from the room to the car and parks at school. He slides around the corner and sprints to the classroom.
Okay, everybody, pass them forward. Stephanie, put your pen down.
Stop.
All right, see you all on Wednesday. Don't forget to vote tomorrow.
Carrying his briefcase, he weaves through the milling students to the car. He arrives at Limbus. He checks his hair in the reflection in the storm door. He searches the backyard.
Linda!
Bees attend an apple tree with ripe red fruit. Lands on his right eyelid.
Ow!
He cups his hand over his eye.
Ow! Ow!
He parks at the motel in the room.
Hi, you reached the Novotny's. We're not around, but we'll call you back real soon. Have a nice day.
Hey, Linda. It's me. Are you there? Pick up. Okay, well, it's 4:32, and, I came by at 3:25, like we said, and, I waited there, but, you weren't there, so now I'm at the place that we talked about, Suite 246, and I'm here. Everything's all set, so, hope you get here soon. Okay. Bye-bye.
He holds the champagne bottle against his swollen eye at the Metzlers.
I don't get it. I just don't get it. What you have against your mother and me, against your brother Paul, is completely beyond me. Your mother's extremely upset. She's at the end of her rope. Your behavior keeps getting crazier and crazier and wilder and wilder. Who knows what the hell else you're doing out there that we don't even know about? We just had a long conversation with Walt Hendricks. Just got off the phone with him at his home. You know he doesn't want you back at Carver. He's fed up with you. Fed up. And I don't blame
Dick,
him.
Dick.
What?
Tammy, your father and I have been talking, and we've come to a decision that we...
You're going to Immaculate Heart. That's where you belong. Maybe the nuns will be able to straighten you out.
Tammy suppresses a smile.
Is that funny? You think it's funny?
At the motel at dusk. Jim carries a white bag in one hand and the poetry book in the other. He parks in the driveway of his house. He opens a bottle of beer and takes a pull on it. He rummages in the refrigerator. He sets his beer on top of the refrigerator and closes the door. He tiptoes toward the sound. Jim peers around the corner. Diane, Linda, and the baby sit on the sofa. Linda pats the baby's back. Diane stares at him, her mouth drawn tight.
Okay.
He leaves. Diane puts her head in her hand. Jim wanders down the driveway and stares, right eye puffy and red, mouth open.
Linda never came home that night. I know, because I spent 10 hours waiting outside her house.
Jim's eye is redder and more swollen.
Oh. 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 Oh, God.
On election day, my mom and I got up really early, and together we customized 480 cupcakes.
The chocolate-covered cupcakes read, Pick Flick in yellow and pink icing.
Good morning, Mr. M. Looks like you could use a cupcake. Hey, what happened to your eye?
He eats the cupcake one-handed.
Are you okay?
He showers.
Yeah.
He adjusts his tie and spits in the sink. In his office.
Hi, you've reached the Novotny's. We're not around, but we'll call you back real soon. Have a nice day.
Why did you do that? I trusted you completely. And you ruined my life. Do you know that? Do you realize that? Huh? Do you? You ruined Diane's life. You ruined my life. Is that what you wanted? I'm sorry. I'm going nuts here. And I really think we should talk. It's Jim. I love you.
When the time came to cast our votes, I stood in line just like everyone else.
Hi, Tracy.
Tracy Enid Flick?
I know.
Tracy enters the curtained voting booth.
Ready, Phil?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Smiling, Tracy poses. Her ballot poised over the box.
Thanks, Phil.
Oh, hey, Tracy.
Hi, Paul.
Isn't this exciting?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck.
Thanks, Paul. You too.
Oh, thanks.
Paul enters the booth.
It's so weird. Do people always just vote for themselves? Because looking at my own name on the ballot, I don't know. I just felt like it's not right to vote for yourself.
Paul votes for Tracy. Three students carry the locked box to Jim's office.
Okay, Mr. M.
All right. So, start counting.
Okay. Well, as the election committee chairman, I'll do the first count, and then you can do the second count, you know, for the two independent counts.
Fine. So, do your count, start with the president, and I'll be right back.
You have the key, Mr. McAllister.
Right.
Jim checks his pocket, then ransacks his desk drawers.
Are you okay, Mr. McAllister?
Yeah. What happened to your eye?
I'm fine. It's just a bee sting. Simple little everyday bee sting. Some people, they get stung, it's no big deal. Me, I swell up. There's not much time left until late, period. I have other things going on too, you know?
Yeah, okay. We know.
All right, I'll be right back.
Jim breaks the lock with a pair of pliers.
Hi, you've reached the Novotny's. We're not around, but we'll call you back real soon. Have a nice day.
It's me again. I'm sorry for all the messages, but, Linda, if I could just hear your voice. If you'd only acknowledge that I...
What do you want, Jim?
You're there.
Yeah, I'm here.
Linda, I love you.
Don't say that. You know it's not true.
It's the only true thing I know anymore.
We made a mistake. Let's not make it worse.
A mistake? That was no mistake.
I was lonely. You took advantage.
Me? I took advantage of you. You hugged me. You kissed me. You're the one who...
Hey, Mr. M, big day, huh?
I'm out, Paul. What have you got?
Well, I'm not supposed to tell. Not until you've counted two. We're each supposed to make an independent count.
You're kidding, right?
Well, I thought those were the rules, Mr. McAllister. If they've changed any way, I...
Larry, we're not electing the Pope here. Just tell me who won.
The students exchange a glance.
It's a squeaker, Mr. M. I've got Tracy by a vote. Just one vote. Mr. M?
Huh. Okay. Well, guess I better do my count.
Tracy carries a hall pass. Her blue eyes shift back and forth. She turns around and runs quietly down the hall. She stops outside Jim's room. She sees him counting. The two student monitors read the paper. She waves to the shorter one, and he smiles at her. Tracy shrugs her shoulders and raises her hands, palms up. The boy darts his eyes from Jim to the other boy and gives a thumbs up. Tracy hops and jumps in the hallway. She clutches the pass.
I was at the end of my count when it happened. I'd come up with exactly the same numbers as Larry, 256 to 257. Tracy had won the election by a single vote. I was about to announce my tally when...
Jim sees Tracy celebrating in the hall.
The sight of Tracy at that moment affected me in a way I can't fully explain. Part of it was that she was spying, but mostly it was her face. Who knew how high she would climb in life? How many people would suffer because of her? I had to stop her. Now.
Jim checks the two monitors. They continue reading. He slowly moves his hand to Tracy's pile of ballots, counts two, and lets his hand drift to the trash can by the desk. He crumples the ballots and drops them in.
Larry?
Yeah?
I think we have a problem.
253, 254, and 255. Yep, I get the same as you, Jim. Looks like Paul's our next president.
No way. It doesn't make sense.
Well, sorry, Larry, but my figures work out exactly the same as Mr. McAllister's. I get 256 for Paul, 255 for Tracy.
And 290 disregards, right?
Well, if you say so.
Supposedly Tammy fans, if you can believe it.
Well, see, it doesn't add up. There were 801 ballots, but 803 people voted. Well, there must be two votes missing. Check the register.
He's right. Two people must have pocketed their ballots. Usually there's more.
But they were there. I counted 803 votes.
It happens, Larry. People make mistakes.
I didn't make a mistake. Every vote was there when you sat down.
Easy, Fauci. I don't like where you're going.
I'm sorry, Dr. Hendricks, but every vote was accounted for.
Fauci, that's enough. End of story.
In the gym, the candidates sit at the end of the room.
I want to let you know that no matter what happens and how this turns out, you've run a really great campaign. Good luck.
Well, thanks, Tracy. You too. I'm just glad it's over.
If we can just get started. People. People. As soon as the winners are announced, we can all go home, okay? Some contests are so well fought that it seems unfair for someone to
act
win
surprised.
And someone to
walk
lose.
Slowly to the podium.
Well, the
be modest. Thank them for this incredible honor.
They're all highly qualified and embody the integrity that we expect from the school leadership. That said, the whole point of an election is to choose a winner, and that you have done. We'll begin with president. I'd just like to add that this was an extraordinarily close race. It is my pleasure to announce the next president of George Washington Carver High School, Paul Metzler.
Tracy stands. Paul struggles to his feet and joins Jim at the mic.
Jeez, you guys, thanks. Thanks. I promise to do my best and do a really good job.
Jim swallows and glances from Paul to Tracy. With downcast eyes, she creases her brow. In a restaurant, Jim sits alone eating dinner. Paul and his parents enter.
It's Mr. Rand. Yes, over there.
Wow, Mr. Rim, this is so wild. We were just here, celebrating my victory, and you're here. This is incredible. This is great. Well, these are my parents.
Hi, Dick Metzler.
Jim McAllister.
Joe Metzler.
How do you do?
Paul just thinks the world of you. I mean, you should hear him. He goes on and on and on.
Yes, apparently you've really come behind him, really helped him out with that student council thing and all.
Oh, well, Paul doesn't need any help from me. He's going places. He should be very proud.
Oh, we are.
Hey, look, you're all alone. Why don't you come over and join us?
Yeah. Well,
come on.
No, I'm just finishing up here, and I've got to get home.
Okay. Well, why don't you guys go sit down and, I'll catch up with you in a minute. I'm going to talk to Mr. M about some important stuff.
All right. That sounds great. Hey, sure nice to meet you.
Great to meet you.
Pleasure.
So nice, and thank you.
You bet.
So, Mr. M, I was starting to think about, some ideas for what we could do. I was thinking it'd be cool to have a carnival, with rides and stuff, and it could be for, muscular dystrophy. And then on Halloween, we could have a haunted house. But, you know, a really good haunted house, not like those cheesy bad ones. You know, I mean, this one would be super scary. And then for homecoming, well, you know how last year's theme was heaven on earth? Well, this year...
Paul, we'll have plenty of time to talk about this later. A whole year, in fact. But right now, I need to finish my pie. Go on home.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. Mr. M, just one more thing. So, do you think Tracy's gonna be okay? I mean, I saw her face after the assembly. It looked like she was taking it pretty hard.
Don't worry about Tracy. She'll be fine.
In Tracy's room.
Sweetheart. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Come on, take one of my pills. You'll feel better. Here. Oh. Come on, baby. Come on. Lie down. Lie down. It's a good girl. Lie down. Good girl. That's it. That's it, baby. That's it, honey. Maybe you needed more posters, honey. Or if you'd just taken my suggestions about your speech. I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Diane opens the door.
Diane, I'd made a mistake, and I...
Jim registers at the motel.
Did you want the same room?
Yeah, okay.
It's a beautiful day.
The next day, I woke up resolved to get my life back on track. The way I saw it, Diane's kicking me out of the house had been a good thing, a wake-up call. It wasn't a setback. It was an opportunity. I figured we just needed a little time to work things out. The election was behind me, and the worst was over. After all, what harm had really been done? Nobody was dead.
Jim?
Jim?
Yeah. Walt wants to see you.
Okay, thanks.
Jim heads for the principal's office.
You rang?
Larry, Tracy, and her mother, Walt, a teacher, and the janitor regard him.
Mr. McAllister, I hope you can help us clear something up.
Walt holds the crumpled ballots. They stare at him. Janitor recalls the spilled container of Oriental food. Jim raises his brows. One by one, the faces glare in rapid succession.
Dr. Hendricks?
Come on in, son. We have something hard we got to tell you.
Is it about Tammy?
It's about the election.
After Paul got the bad news, Walt asked for a few minutes alone with me. It was very simple, really. I offered my resignation, and he accepted. Very quietly, it was all over for Jim McAllister at Carver High.
Newspaper headlines appear.
Suddenly, everyone knew who I was. That corrupt teacher who had tried to crush the dreams of an innocent girl. Overnight, all the good things I'd ever done in my life evaporated. soon the wire services picked up on the story. It was the kind of absurd little news item people email each other or post on the bulletin board at work. To top it all off, Diane had started divorce proceedings. She was completely unforgiving about the thing with Linda. In the end, she took almost everything, including the house. I got the car.
Jim pulls to a stop next to Larry. Who rolls down his window and spits at him.
Then one day, I realized it was time to get out of Omaha and move on.
Words appear. One year later.
Senior year was great. Sure, I didn't get to play ball or be president, but I got elected homecoming king and prom king. I got into Nebraska like I wanted and early rushed finals. And at the end of the year, me and my buddies threw a Mexican party down at the cement plant. That was a good party. The only really bad thing about senior year was Lisa. Right before Christmas, she dumped me. One minute, she's totally in love with me, and then boom, she goes after my football buddy, Randy. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened if I'd actually won the election. Maybe my whole life would be different. Like I might never have gone to Yosemite with Greg and Travis. Maybe I'd be dead.
Tammy smokes in a bathroom stall.
Catholic school was great. I mean, the teachers kind of sucked. And they were supposedly way more strict. But you could get away with murder. The best thing about Immaculate Heart was meeting Jennifer.
Jennifer, Jennifer.
Tammy and Jennifer visit the zoo.
Jennifer,
they slide down a slide.
Jennifer, sitting very still.
They fly a rainbow kite across the bridge.
Jennifer and I are soulmates. And we're never, ever, ever going to be apart.
They swing at the park.
Order! Order! Order!
Senior year was very productive for me.
Let's vote on this issue.
On top of a very successful student council year, I was in the top 7th percentile of my graduating class.
Opposed?
And I got into Georgetown like I wanted.
With scholarships. Approved.
But sometimes I got lonely. I think about Dave. I missed our talks. Maybe it could have worked out between us. I don't know. I wonder what he's doing now.
Dave marks cans at a hardware store.
Maybe he finally finished his novel. But you know, even with all my myriad accomplishments and bright future, somehow I just didn't feel the way you're supposed to feel. Everybody else seems so happy, planning big parties and signing each other's yearbooks. Hardly anybody sign mine. You'd think as student body president, I'd be the one surrounded by friends. But it wasn't like that at all.
Paul signs books by his truck.
Brittany Lake Fillmore.
As far as Mr. McAllister was concerned, you might be surprised, but I hardly thought about him at all anymore. Besides, nobody had heard from him in a long time. It was almost like he'd never existed in the first place.
Tracy Enid Flick.
A bright smile lights her face.
What happens to a man when he loses everything? Everything he's worked for. Everything he believes in. Driven from his home. Cast out of society. How can he survive? Where can he go?
Right this way.
New York City. For centuries, people have come to New York seeking refuge from their troubled lives. Now, I am one of them. The job market is pretty tight in New York, but after hunting around for a while, I finally landed a position in the education department at the Museum of Natural History. That's right, I'm teaching again. When a school brings its students to the museum on a field trip, there's a staff of both volunteer docents and trained educators like myself who pick up where their classwork leaves off. And I've started seeing someone new. Her name is Jillian. She works at the museum too in signs and signage. She's really different from Diane, and don't know. I've just never met anyone quite like her. She just got out of a long relationship, too, so we're trying to take it slow.
They sit on a park bench, eating.
You might ask if I ever saw Tracy Flick again. Well, I did. Just once. I was down in Washington for a museum educators conference, and I stayed an extra day to do some sightseeing. After an inspiring morning on the mall, I was on my way to the Holocaust Museum. When?
Across the street, Tracy walks with a man. Words appear. Representative Mike Geiger, Republican, Nebraska. They pause at a stretch limo. Jim blinks. Tracy glances his way as she gets in the car.
I'll never know if she saw me. Probably not. But in that moment, all the bad memories, all the things I'd ever wanted to say to her, it all came flooding back. My first impulse was to run over there, pound on her window, and demand that she admit she tore down those posters and lied and cheated her way into winning that election. But instead, I just stood there. And I suddenly realized I wasn't angry at her anymore. I just felt sorry for her. I mean, when I think about my new life and all the exciting things I'm doing, and then I think about what her life must be like, probably still getting up at 5 in the morning to pursue her pathetic little dreams, it just makes me sad. I mean, where is she really trying to get to anyway? What is she doing in that limo? Who the hell does she think she is?
He hurls his soda cup at the departing limo.
Hey, you! Hey!
But that's all ancient history now. I've got a whole new life. I mean, that's what's great about America. You can always start over.
So would that make this an igneous rock? Or a sedimentary rock? What's the difference between igneous and sedimentary anyway?
A little blonde girl raises her hand. Jim looks to the other students. Fade to black.
Anybody?